Upon the Witch's Stone, near Ritho, Scotland, there are 24 cups, varying in size from 1.5 to 3 inches in diameter, arranged in approximately straight lines. Locally it is explained that these are tracks of dog's feet, PROCSOC Antique Scotland, February 4, 79. Similar marks are scattered bewilderingly all around the Witch's Stone like a frenzy of telegraphing, or like messages repeating and repeating, trying to localize differently. In Inverness Shire, cup marks are called fairies' footmarks. At Valness Church, Norway, and St. Peter's, Ambleteus, there are such marks, said to be horses' hoofprints. The rocks of Clare, Ireland, are marked with prints supposed to have been made by a mythical cow, folklore, 21-184. We now have such a ghost of a thing that I'd not like to be interpreted as offering it as a datum. It simply illustrates what I mean by the notion of symbols, like cups or like footprints, which, if like those of horses or cows, are the reverse of, or the negatives of, cups of symbols that are regularly received somewhere upon this earth steep, conical hill, somewhere, I think, but that have often alighted in wrong places considerably to the mystification of persons waking up some morning to find them upon formerly blank spaces. An ancient record, still worse, an ancient Chinese record of a courtyard of a palace, dwellers of the palace waking up one morning, finding the courtyard marked with tracks like the footprints of an ox, supposed that the devil did it. Notes and Queries, 9-6-225. 16. Angels. Hordes upon hordes of them. Beings massed like the clouds of souls, or the commingling whiffs of spirituality, or the exhalations of souls that Dory pictured so often. It may be that the Milky Way is a composition of stiff, frozen, finally static, absolute angels. We shall have data of little Milky Ways, moving swiftly, or data of hosts of angels, not absolute, or still dynamic. I suspect, myself, that the fixed stars are really fixed, and that the minute motions said to have been detected in them are illusions. I think that the fixed stars are absolutes. Their twinkling is only the interpretation by an intermediatist state of them. I think that soon after Leverrier died, a new fixed star was discovered that, if Dr. Gray had stuck to his story of the thousands of fishes from one pail of water, had written upon it, lectured upon it, taken to street corners, to convince the world that, whether conceivable or not, his explanation was the only true explanation, had thought of nothing but this last thing at night and first thing in the morning his obituary another nova reported in monthly notices. I think that Milky Ways, of an inferior, or dynamic, order, have often been seen by astronomers. Of course it may be that the phenomena that we shall now consider are not angels at all. We are simply feeling around, trying to find out what we can accept. Some of our data indicate hosts of rotund and complacent tourists in interplanetary space, but then data of long, lean, hungry ones. I think that there are, out in interplanetary space, super Tamerlanes at the head of hosts of celestial ravagers which have come here and pounced upon civilizations of the past, cleaning them up all but their bones, or temples and monuments for which later historians have invented exclusionist histories. But if something now has a legal right to us, and can enforce its proprietorship, they've been warned off. It's the way of all exploitation. I should say that we're now under cultivation, that we're conscious of it, but have the impertinence to attribute it all to our own nobler and higher instincts. Against these notions is the same sense of finality that opposes all advance. It's why we rate acceptance as a better adaptation than belief. Opposing us is the strong belief that, as to interplanetary phenomena, virtually everything has been found out. Sense of finality and illusion of homogeneity. But that what is called advancing knowledge is violation of the sense of blankness. A drop of water. Once upon a time water was considered so homogeneous that it was thought of as an element. The microscope, and not only that the supposititiously elementary was seen to be of infinite diversity, but that in its protoplasmic life there were new orders of beings. Or the year 1491 and a European looking westward over the ocean his feeling that suave western droop was unbreakable, that gods of regularity would not permit that smooth horizon to be disturbed by coasts or spotted with islands. The unpleasantness of even contemplating such a statewide, smooth west, so clean against the sky spotted with islands geographic leprosy. But coasts and islands and Indians and bison, in the seemingly vacant west, lakes, mountains, rivers. One looks up at the sky, the relative homogeneity of the relatively unexplored, one thinks of only a few kinds of phenomena. But the acceptance is forced upon me that there are modes and modes and modes of interplanetary existence, things as different from planets and comets and meteors as Indians are from bison and prairie dogs, a supergeography or celestiography of vast stagnant regions, but also of super Niagaras and ultra Mississippis, and a super sociology voyagers and tourists and ravagers, the hunted and the hunting, the super mercantile, the super piratic, the super evangelical. Sense of homogeneity, or our positivist illusion of the unknown and the fate of all positivism. Astronomy and the academic. Ethics and the abstract. The universal attempt to formulate or to regularize an attempt that can be made only by disregarding or denying. Or all things disregard or deny that which will eventually invade and destroy them. Until comes the day when some one thing shall say, and enforce upon infinitude. Thus far shalt thou go, here is absolute demarcation. The final utterance. There is only I. In the monthly notices of the RAS, 11-48, there is a letter from the Reverend W. Reed. That, upon the 4th of September, 1851, at 9:30 a.m., he had seen a host of self-luminous bodies, passing the field of his telescope, some slowly and some rapidly. They appeared to occupy a zone several degrees in breadth. The direction of most of them was due east to west, but some moved from north to south. The numbers were tremendous. They were observed for 6 hours. Editor's note. May not these appearances be attributed to an abnormal state of the optic nerves of the observer? In monthly notices, 12-38, Mr. Red answers that he had been a diligent observer, with instruments of a superior order, for about 28 years, but I have never witnessed such an appearance before. As to illusion, he says that two other members of his family had seen the objects. The editor withdraws his suggestion. We know what to expect. Almost absolutely in an existence that is essentially Hibernian, we can predict the past, that is, look over something of this kind, written in 1851, and know what to expect from the exclusionists later. If Mr. Reed saw a migration of dissatisfied angels, numbering millions, they must merge away, at least subjectively, with commonplace terrestrial phenomena, of course disregarding Mr. Reed's probable familiarity, of 28 years' duration, with the commonplaces of terrestrial phenomena. Monthly notices, 12-183. Letter from Reverend W. R. Dawes. That he had seen similar objects and in the month of September that they were nothing but seeds floating in the air. In the report of the British Association, 1852-235, there is a communication from Mr. Red to Professor Baden-Powell. That the objects that had been seen by him and by Mr. Dawes were not similar. He denies that he had seen seeds floating in the air. There had been little wind, and that had come from the sea, where seeds would not be likely to have origin. The objects that he had seen were round and sharply defined, and with none of the feathery appearance of thistledown. He then quotes from a letter from C.B. Chalmers, F.R.A.S., who had seen a similar stream, a procession, or migration, except that some of the bodies were more elongated or lean and hungry than globular. He might have argued for 65 years. He'd have impressed nobody of importance. The supermotif, or dominant, of his era, was exclusionism, and the notion of seeds in the air assimilates with due disregards with that dominant. Or pageantries here upon our earth, and things looking down upon us, and the Crusades were only dust clouds, and glints of the sun on shining armor were only particles of mica in dust clouds. I think it was a Crusade that Red saw, but that it was right, relatively to the year 1851, to say that it was only seeds in the wind, whether the wind blew from the sea or not. I think of things that were luminous with religious zeal, mixed up, like everything else in intermediateness, with black marauders and from gray to brown beings of little personal ambitions. There may have been a Richard Coeur de Lion, on his way to right wrongs in Jupiter. It was right, relatively to 1851, to say that he was a seed of a cabbage. Professor Coffin, USN. Jure Frank. INST, 88-151 that, during the eclipse of August, 1869, he had noted the passage, across his telescope, of several bright flakes resembling thistle blows, floating in the sunlight. But the telescope was so focused that, if these things were distinct, they must have been so far away from this earth that the difficulties of orthodoxy remain as great, one way or another, no matter what we think they were. They were well defined, says Professor Coffin. Henry Waldner, Nature, 5-304. That, April 27, 1863, he had seen great numbers of small, shining bodies passing from west to east. He had notified Dr. Wolf, of the observatory of Zurich, who had convinced himself of this strange phenomenon. Dr. Wolf had told him that similar bodies had been seen by Sig. Capoxi, of the Capodimonte Observatory, at Naples, May 11, 1845.